Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Fender Bender on Joy 94.9, revving up the weekend with news and views on all things motoring.
Good afternoon and welcome to Fender Bender, the only motoring show on Joy 94.9. I'm sure there are others on other radio stations, but none as good as this one, let's be honest.
Not even half as good.
Not even close. My name is Tim Nicholson and I'm joined by the lovely Mike Costello and Jeremy Boyd.
Because we don't get names in the credits, we're just friends.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. That's
nameless.
It.
Hey, nameless and faceless.
That's not true. It's on the website on the joy.org.au/Fender Bender.
Name or face?
Name.
Ah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There was a slight note of disappointment in there.
Yeah, slightly.
It's probably down the bottom somewhere. I've said Jeremist and Michelle. No, it's not true. You are there.
Like the top.
I couldn't possibly do this without you guys, yeah? It'd be really, really boring.
Shucks.
As I said, it is the only motoring show on Joy 94.9, and we've got a big show. Big thanks to Pete Dillon, who's going to be coming live from Noosa next week for Cravings, which is very exciting. Noosa.
One more time.
You're so brown. Have you been to Noosa? Yes, Noosa, which is very exciting. So good for him. We won't be. We'll be here in the studio.
Yeah, in freezing
sweating
cold
it up
Melbourne.
Big style. Yeah. Well, yeah. Oddly though, it's still hot in here.
It's really hot in here.
You know what's that about?
Is it just me, Tim?
Oh, yeah. Jeremy's wearing a singlet. Everyone showing off his tats.
Yeah, it's a little. Because I had like a. Sorry,
you heard me.
It's a little. Awkward.
It's because I had, the jumper was just too thick.
Oh, God, I just had to strip
off. I wasn't breathing.
Yeah, I see. Yeah. Why aren't you wearing pants then? No, I'm kidding. You are, of course. Now, we've got a lot
free
to get
boring.
Through. Oh, wow. We have a lot to get through today. We are going to play, I'm very excited about this. Mike, you and I have played this before. What car am I? I've written here, what's that car? But I like, what car am I?
Yeah, it has more of a game show kind of vibe to it.
Kind of, which is basically for those who are listening for the first time or didn't hear it last time we played it. It's much like Who Am I from Sale of the Century, only with cars. And I'll be giving out hints throughout the show.
Have you heard that they might be bringing Sale of the Century back? Because they're bringing The Price is Right back as well.
Does that have
and
that
I heard
Glenn
there's
going to
be like a renaissance.
Who?
Did that have that Glenn...
Glenn Ridge, absolutely. Yeah.
And you know, he's actually a motoring journo nowadays.
Yeah.
See, there is a connection.
How ironic.
Yeah.
Is it really ironic?
He had a show called Drive or something back in the early 90s, I think.
He did.
Yeah.
He did.
And because he was big on BTV6 in Hamilton, where I was from, so big fan.
So he's a high roller.
Yeah, totally. So we're going to play What's That Car? / What Car Am I? Mike's going to talk about the Mini Roadster.
Boom.
Yes.
Correct.
I thought it was a coupe, but it's a Roadster, which will be lots of fun. We're also going to talk about cars that changed our lives. And we're going to help you buy a car, dear listener. If you are in the market for a car, or you're thinking about buying a car and you're not sure what you want, text in and we will help you out. We will offer you a series of options as to what we think, with our expertise, you should buy. So you need to text in kind of vague, how much you want to spend. And obviously,
what are your priorities with a car? How
exactly.
Do you want it to
I'm pretty
be?
Sure we saved someone from buying a Volvo wagon last year.
Yeah, we've saved a few people.
Which is a noble cause. So.
Yeah. Remember last time, and then you two had an argument between the Kia Sportage.
Oh, we did, yeah. So, we very rarely argue.
That's true, that's true. You're very loving towards each other. I'm going to be sick now. So text in Facebook and Twitter. So get in touch with us. And if you're looking to buy a car and need a bit of advice, we're here to help. I'm not sure why I went so high
Neither
there.
Neither am I, frankly.
I'm sorry for it.
Brenda Dixon.
Brenda Dixon. You're listening to Fender Bender. We've got lots more coming up.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9.
You are listening to Fender Bender. That is Santi / Santo Gold. We're still not entirely sure about her name. What do we decide in the end? Santi.
Yeah, well, that's what you wrote down.
Yeah, but she was Santo, now she's Santi Gold.
Well, I'm sticking with Santo.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, even though her new album is Santi Gold.
So that was a rhetorical question.
A little bit.
Mm-hmm.
just padding.
She did change, though. I don't know why. We were having this debate before.
What if she becomes Santa Gold, like Santa Claus?
That's ridiculous.
She could make a Christmas album and just call herself that for just one Christmas album.
I like it.
That sounds hideous.
Anyway, that was Santa Gold with Les Artistes. She's not even French. Yeah. So we've got lots coming up on the show. Totally, guys. Lots coming up on the show. Mike, this week it's been a bit funny. I saw something in the news.
Did you?
About a car without a driver. What on earth?
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Well, it's true. A couple of companies, actual car companies like BMW and Volvo, have been working on making driverless cars. You know, there's so much technology now designed to alleviate pressure from drivers. You've got radar cruise control and all these features. But there have been a few companies that have been working on making a driverless car, completely driverless. But they were beaten to the punch by a non-car making company. Google. Who else but Google? I really shouldn't be that surprised.
Is that because it looks like through Google Maps? Is it a GPS thing or something?
Well, partially. It's got, you know, onboard data like that, and they've collected information about, and they've got radars and all sorts of implements on there. But the point is, this car, it's clever enough to sense obstacles, to work out directions, and it can drive completely by itself. And there's a video they released recently of a legally blind man getting behind the wheel, and it drives him through a Taco Bell.
Wow.
And he gets food, and it's then it takes him back home again.
Well,
Because if you know, you'd never driven a car, the first place you want to go would be Taco Bell, let's be honest.
That's an amazing cross promotion there, Google.
Mercedes did it quite a few years ago, and I think they did it in some town in Germany somewhere. Mm. And they used sensors in the road. Because, I mean, Mercedes have had this Distronic, which is like a distance measuring radar in the front, of, like actually in the Mercedes Star. And I've driven one of the cars with it. It's insane. Like, you set it.
In the Star?
The Star in the grill.
The bonnet on the grill.
When you see one that's flat and shiny, that's the radar ones.
Wow.
And you know it's got that fitted to it. And I drove one, and it's quite unsettling because you can set it, and it will not let you hit the car in front. And so basically you'll drive along and the car will apply the brakes to stop you, and it can come to a complete stop, and then it'll take off again.
Jesus.
These systems are becoming more and more common, but the big news here is that this car doesn't need a driver at all, and while it's been around in prototype form for a while, it's now been legalized for the road. So the state of Nevada, which is the world's leading, for some reason, they've taken the charge on this, and they're the ones that are really pushing for driverless cars. They've actually licensed this car. So this can be driven on the road with number plates, and it's the first time this has ever happened.
I think that's frightening, because I think there's going to be a bit of a replay of Airbus.
What?
Well, the French doing the whole fly-by-wire thing in their planes. You know, Boeing stuck to the, you know, old rickety linkages and cables, and Airbus went to fly-by-wire, so the plane basically flies itself.
Oh, that is creepy.
And they've had plenty of stacks.
It is a concern, and I mean, this, I think the problem with it is that, you know, if you become too reliant on technology, then you lose the ability to drive. You lose the things, the reflexes and the skills, and things do go wrong. But it is interesting because it's really begun now. Before, they were just prototypes. They were just grand ideas in the sky. But now they're going to be on the road.
Very interesting.
They'll start in Nevada, but California's about to do it as well. It'll spread through America. Mm. Whatever happens in America happens here. Safe to say, within a decade, I would predict there will be driverless cars on our roads.
Well, they put a man on the moon, didn't they?
They did. And you know what? Perfect that it's Nevada. Because that's Las Vegas, and there are a lot of people.
And they
that
did testing on the Vegas
there.
Strip, so did that they? You know, just seeing a little robot car driving down the strip.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. A little bit more news coming up very shortly. You're listening to Fender Bender.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Fender Bender, Joy 94.9.
Wham!
Rapid fire.
Rapid fire. We are getting through things, you know what I mean? Now, the other thing we saw this week, of course, was Infiniti, who are Nissan's luxury brand. They're coming to Australia in
August.
That's a bit exciting.
Mm.
I remember the first time they tried here, which was the early 90s, I think.
They had one big barge size limo thing that flopped like a
G35. No, what was it called?
The Q45.
Is that what it was?
And it cost $100,000 in 1994.
For a Nissan?
Yeah. Didn't sell too
That's
well.
Bananas.
But they are relaunching, and they're relaunching with a decent range.
Mm.
The big news to come out of this week is they've been saying for a while they were going to have a small luxury car, a bit like the Mercedes A-Class, BMW 1 Series. the entry level, Audi A3, all these premium small cars. I've been saying for a while I'm going to do one of these. I had a concept like previewing it. Mm. And they've announced they've done a tie-in with Mercedes to share the platform of the A-Class and the engines, future Mercedes engines, for their car. So Infiniti have kind of teamed up with Mercedes to make a premium small car, which is pretty interesting.
That's going to blow it out of the park.
They seem like odd bedfellows. They did a tie-in not too long ago, and there's been a few other things they've done, but this is the latest.
I wonder if you'd use that in your advertising, that you've kind of had engineering help from Mercedes. Surely
I think they should
would.
Use the word bedfellow. I don't know when the last
you are
time
the
I
advertising
heard that.
Man of mine, so maybe you could think about something like that. Mm.
You will just go to that sex place anytime, won't you? Sick.
Just because it's a bed, Tim. Maybe fellow.
That's true. Well, no, that's a bit exciting, and that, you know, it's small luxury cars are becoming quite the
taken off, man.
Yeah.
People in Paran need cars too, all right?
It's true.
Ouch.
Well, I'm a bit excited about Infiniti coming here. So
am I. And, yeah. And this is going to be, they're going to be kind of a niche brand. They're not going to have like a massive volume selling car for a little while. This, when it arrives, probably in 2015, they're sort of saying, will be the thing that really takes them off. At least that's what they're hoping.
Yep. So they're kind of like a mini Lexus.
They're like basically they Lexus. Yeah. So they're Nissan's version of Lexus. Yeah. But Nissan don't want to affiliate themselves too closely, which is why they're doing the sort of Mercedes links as well. Trying to make themselves seem premium.
Have a bit of a point of difference.
And it could work. Their cars look pretty good. So, you know, their track record's strong and should be all right.
Exactly. Very exciting. Very exciting news. Do you know what else is exciting?
Come on, Tim.
So many things. Right now, I'm going to start. What car am I?
I've been aching for this, Tim.
Oh, my God, you have. You've been just doing something else. I can't think of a rude word.
Gross.
Yeah, a little bit. Now, this is a little bit of a game where you, the listener, can text in if you think you know what car I'm talking about. Again, we did it a couple of weeks ago very successfully. And we're going to try it again now. So, and you boys are not allowed to yell out with the answer.
I'll text in.
Okay. You bet you will too.
Yeah.
I bet you will. So I'll give a couple of clues now and then a few more clues later on. So the first clue: I started my life in Australia in 1995 as a replacement to a much-loved nameplate. When I arrived, I was an unknown quantity in Australia. However, I was fairly popular in other markets, Europe in particular. I might not have looked like it, but I was one of the most expensive new car programs ever undertaken. ... That's all I'm giving you for now.
I've got nothing.
If you think you know what that car is that I'm talking about,
am I allowed to ask a question?
You can.
Would you say it's a gay or a lesbian car?
Neither.
Oh, it really hasn't helped at all.
It has not helped at all.
It's narrowed it down by about four.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so it's definitely not a Subaru then.
No. Subaru.
Or a Jeep Wrangler.
No. None of those. So look, let us know if you think you know what's going on. We'd love to hear from you. You're listening to Fender Bender.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9.
And the time is now, guys, for Fender Bender.
That's the spirit.
Do you know what I mean?
Living in the moment, Tim.
I know, right? Now, I wanted to have a quick chat to you boys. Now, you know, we've all kind of grown up being a bit obsessed with cars. Am I right?
Anything with a motor.
Okay.
Anything.
Wow.
Like a boat?
Yeah.
Anything. I mean it. Like
a motor.
Ride like on mower. Anything.
Engine, like a handheld device with a small engine. I don't know what
I'm saying. What is that?
I don't know. Like a meat carver? Anyway,
knife.
The reason...
There's a lot of options.
There's a lot of things that we could do. But what I wanted to find out from you guys, did you have a car when you were a kid that you were obsessed with that just changed your life?
Yes.
What was it?
A Datsun 240Z.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Dead serious.
Oh, the 240Z.
Yeah,
good choice.
Yeah.
Why?
Because I don't know, something about it, the fact it was, I was a weird child. I didn't really aspire to Lamborghinis and Ferraris. I liked the fact that the Datsun, I always knew that it was the sort of car anyone could afford back in the day. Mm. And I really loved the fact that it was this cheap car that looked amazing. And I guess I had low aspirations as a child. I shot for a Datsun rather than a Lamborghini. I don't know. And to this day, I still want one. And I'm
really,
you know, that's when I get around to buying a classic. Yeah. That'll be what I buy. I haven't really lost the passion for that car.
So the original,
the original.
Yeah. Did you follow obviously the Z continues. Do you follow, you know,
well,
each
iteration? Well, see, my dad worked for Nissan the whole time in my childhood, so he used to bring home the latest 300Zs and 350Zs and all those sorts of things, and I always liked them.
Yeah.
But they're all a bit lardy and big and bulky, and the 240 was the ultimate. It was live and it was exiguous and it was just awesome. And it kind of degraded from there.
Yeah, right.
But that car is just frozen in time.
It's pretty cool.
Which is why when they brought back the Datsun badge recently, I was so excited. This little tiny germ has got me that maybe they'll bring back the badge, but I don't think so.
Sadly, it doesn't sound like they're going to do much cool with that badge when it returns.
No, it doesn't. No. It really doesn't.
What's yours, Tim?
Do you know what mine is? Lamborghini Countach.
Predictable.
And I'm going to put a photo on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/FenderBender, Joy, that is the only piece of art or anything hanging in my bedroom right now is an 80s picture with a black background of a white Lamborghini Countach, and it is hot. It's the only thing in my room.
Really?
They are an amazing. They were like one of the first, because Lamborghini created the supercar with their Miura in the late 70s, but the Countach was from outer space. Like it looked like it was from another planet.
I would have thought that you'd have a Kylie portrait as well.
That was when I was younger. Okay. Oh. I would have a lot of Kylie portraits when I was younger. But do you know what's funny? I was driving.
Is there ever one with Kylie sitting on the bonnet of a Countach?
No.
She never did that?
Sadly, no. She should now, though.
In my arms, Tim.
But I actually was driving around somewhere last night, and I was driving behind a black Countach, and my housemate thought it was some kind of spaceship. He didn't know what was going on.
There would be any Countaches on the road here.
I've actually seen this same Countach because I noticed the number plate. I've seen it around the inner north a bit. So,
what is the driver? Awesome. What kind of is the driver? Old, young,
middle aged, I would say. Hmm. But it still looks amazing. There's nothing like it on the road. There never has been.
I heard they were legendarily bad to drive.
Yeah,
they were basically like a truck.
Yes, and if you're,
but they look awesome.
You wouldn't be able to fit in one.
No,
that's here
not just
is
Lamborghinis.
8 foot 12 tall.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah. Slightly above the average, but yeah, I probably wouldn't fit.
Wow. And Jeremiah, what about you?
Well, I was thinking about it, and I mean, I had dream cars and all that sort of thing, which is all changed now. I still remember what they were and everything like that, but I think the one to pick out would be the car that I was 15 when I got it, or 16, because I just couldn't wait. It'd be the car that sent my mum grey. And also taught me how to drive. Because if I grew up out in the hills and we had a little bit of land, not heaps, and yeah, I had like a big grassy area that when we were younger, we would play cricket and football on, but then it turned into like my driving pad where I, did a lot of donuts and things like that. And
so what was the car?
It was a Cortina, a TF, 1981. And that was when they had a little car. So it's like the little car, short boot, big bonnet, big engine.
Oh, straight six, right?
Yeah.
The little Cortinas.
Yeah. Well, not they progressively got a little bit bigger. And this was the last Cortina that they made. Really hot little car. And mine was pearl white.
Pearl. Wow.
Yeah, so I think that was the car that probably changed a lot of things for me because, I learnt.
So what we're saying is we're car enthusiasts. We love cars. We've got the unlimited, boundless imagination of a child and all that entails. And two of us, we're aspiring towards a Datsun and a Ford Cortina.
What
the hell is wrong with us?
I know, right?
Yeah, and Tim over there with his Lamborghini.
Which I will buy one day. Mark my words.
I wonder. I actually read a story of a guy who built a replica Countach in his basement. You saw that?
Yes.
Yeah.
This is bananas.
But I wonder how much a Countach costs these days.
I think I looked it up a little while ago, and it was about 60 grand or something.
I don't think you could have a beard if you had a Lamborghini, though.
What did you say?
I think you'd have to remove the beard.
Wow. You are racist.
Why can't Lamborghini drivers have beards?
I just think it would be unacceptable. And
are you a beardist?
Maybe I am.
That's a word. Look, you are listening to Fender Bender. Let us know what if you had a car that changed your life in childhood. What was it and why?
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9.
Oh my God. I think that was just an ad for E17 coming out to Australia. A sponsorship message for E17 coming out to Australia. Do you not know who E17 are?
Nope.
Oh my God. I work with youths.
Should I?
Yes. They were a boy band from the early to mid-90s.
So what you're saying is they've run out of royalty money.
Yeah, yes. And they're old and weathered.
With that.
Because all the old boy bands are getting back. I don't know.
They are probably just as fit as they were when they were younger than they are now. I think it'd be amazing. I'll totally go. You're not going to go because you don't know who they are.
Didn't New Kids on the Block tour last year?
With Backstreet Boys, and it became the NKOT BSB tour.
I think you just blew a blood vessel in your eye. You're so excited, Tim.
Oh, my God.
They almost popped out.
It is looking very a little bit exciting. Dire.
Listen, anyway. Wow. Enough about boy bands, guys. Let's talk about something else gay.
Well, that's our biggest problem. We're always talking about boy bands.
I know, constantly, constantly. Did you listen to any boy band music when you drove the car that you're about to tell us about, Mike?
What? Sorry, I wasn't listening. I phased out.
That was amazing. You have driven a car this week that possibly a boy band member would drive.
Possibly.
Would you think?
Well, the one thing I realised, I have a full head of hair, and in order to drive this car, you probably shouldn't have a full head of hair.
Oh.
You're supposed to be losing it a little bit. I think it kind of suits the vibe. Well, it's a small convertible.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Is that the same? But that's the same thing as me with my comment about the beard and the Lamborghini.
That's right. I'm pretty hypocritical. I drove a new car. It's the new Mini Roadster. Mm-hmm. They released this a couple of months ago, and I had this during the week. It's not to be confused with the Mini Cabrio. Mini is so confusing. The Cabrio is based on the hatchback. It's just a topless version. But the Roadster is its own unique model. It's a little convertible Mazda MX-5 size, mid-40s.
And it's so the difference between the normal Mini and this one's quite a bit lower, if you've seen. It's
lower, longer, and wider.
Okay.
Only slightly. It's a niche within a niche within a niche. It's the intersection of cars.
It is a bit confusing, though.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
But it's sort of pitched at those entry-level European roadsters, the Renault Megane, and also the Mazda MX-5, the Japanese model. But what it brings to the table is that unique mininess. So it's quirky. It's got the same kind of interior. It's got those sort of snub-nosed looks. It handles like a go-kart. In fact, they use the word go-kart in their press release for it. So they're obviously targeting that. And I had one for the week, and it was an absolute hoot for all its faults. It's a very... It's got a lot of faults, like all Minis do in my mind. You can barely see out of the thing. It's almost, with the roof up, it is literally impossible. The top of the windscreen gets in the way of your eye line. You can't see out the back or the side of it. It's pretty much guesswork. And there are rattles in the interior, and it rides like a snowboard on a sidewalk. It's horrible. That was one I made up on the spot.
Thank you.
But for all of its faults, like all Minis, it brings the biggest grin to your face. You're grinning like a lunatic the whole time you're driving it. British Racing green, pops coming out of the exhaust, little paddle shifters. It just brings a massive grin to your face. Although it's kind of scary, the fact that it was a 46 grand car with a few extras, and it was close to 60 grand the one I was driving, because it had a lot of extras on it.
Jeez, 60 grand for a Mini. With that shit these days, that stuff these days.
Oh, Tim.
Oopsies.
Well, I think we're cancelled now. This is our last show.
I know. Can't say that on Joy.
Long story short, though, I felt like a massive dick driving this car. But I loved it anyway. I thought it was great fun. I was smiling the whole time I was driving it.
So a bit of fun. Could you live with it, though?
No. Right. Not a chance in hell.
So you'd have to have like a normal... This would be your second...
This would be my... This would be a great little cool fun weekend car.
Yeah.
But for 60 grand?
Well, if you can afford it.
But no, I mean, what else could you buy for 60 grand that could be your fun weekend car?
Many cars.
Exactly.
Three Dats and 240Zs.
That's very good.
And I could chop the roof off one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
But look, it's style. It's focused on style, like Minis are. It's going to appeal to a certain kind of person. And, you know, it's certainly unique, and you couldn't mistake it for anything else.
And a certain kind of person, a lot of them might be gay, I'm guessing.
Quite possibly.
Would you say it's a hairdresser's car, though?
I wouldn't, actually, because it does actually perform. It's quick. It handles really well, like all Minis do. So it's not really a hairdresser's car, like the Renault and the Peugeot.
Yeah.
I would be. But it is, I don't know. It's his own kind of car. It's unique. And expensive if you're not careful.
Yeah, that's bananas. I must say, I had a small sit in said car. And
you took it for a spin.
A quick spin. And I had a ball, but what I did, that rear vision through the tiny little rear bloody window of the convertible, it's
just terrible.
Wow.
You get that in a lot of convertibles.
Reversing, I was genuinely
But the worst part is the windscreen, where the fabric roof meets the top of the windscreen is obviously the metal strip.
Yeah.
And it's right in your eye line. Ooh. So you have to duck down to be able to see out the front of the
car. Is it a hard or a soft top?
Soft top. And it's a manual soft top.
Yeah. Oh, really?
But it's really light and it's really easy. You retract it about 3 seconds. So I don't mind
60 grand and you don't get
You can put an electric on there, but they you know, they sting you for $1,200 for it.
And that'd make it a lot heavier, right?
But I think they're trying to kind of hark back to that British roadster of the 60s, the MGs, the Triumphs with the little manual roofs and the tiny proportions and the two-seaters. They're really shooting for that.
Yeah.
And, you know, in some ways they've hit the mark. But that being said, I'd still have an MX-5.
There you go. You do love them.
Well, they're pretty popular.
They are very popular. Mm. So, a tentative thumbs up.
Look, if you like minis and you want a roadster or a convertible, take one over the Cabrio. And it's a great fun car and you'll smile a lot. But just be warned, there are other options out there.
And people can read your review at goauto.com.au.
Of course they can.
Absolutely. Very good to hear. Thank you guys so much.
That was quite scary.
One thing I did want to do really quickly, though, is give a few more clues away.
Oh, Tim.
What car
I was wondering
am
I? What that... I was scared by that manic look in your eye. And now I know what it was.
I've forgotten the first one.
Oh, God, you're a... I don't want to go through them again. Oh, God, it was so...
Don't mess with really a man
quickly,
with a beard.
Really quickly.
Right.
Okay. I started my life in 1995 as a replacement to a much-loved nameplate. When I arrived, I was an unknown quantity. However, I was popular in Europe. I might not have looked it, but I was one of the most expensive new car programs ever undertaken. The new hints. My name was derived from the Latin word meaning world, which was fitting, given that I was a world car. My first few years in Australia were not amazing. No one liked me, and I sold in tiny numbers. Despite the fact that I won the European Car of the Year in 1994. Dun, dun, dun. If you think you know what car I'm talking about, you could win the respect of everyone in this studio. Not a prize, we don't have a prize, but you will win our respect and love.
We sure know how to incentivize our listeners.
I know, it's terrible. We'll get a prize one day.
I still have no idea.
No idea?
I don't
think so. I love that
you
have no idea.
Yeah.
Mike guessed it. Yeah?
Hmm.
Anyway, well, but, you know, he's not going to reveal that because he's a gentleman.
Yeah, well, I know who your favourite is, Tim.
Oh, come on, guys. Come on, guys.
And we have some text in as well, Tim.
Do we?
We do.
Tell me all about it.
Well, we've got a few people telling us what their dream cars were as
fabulous.
A child. We've got Michael telling us his dream car was a Mini Cooper. I assume that's the Michael Caine version from the Italian Job. And that's a great car to be aspiring towards. Sensational car.
Well, you were just saying how fun they are. And Brett from Collingwood, and Hello, Brett. Bretty. He says the original RX-7, and you know what? I think that's a pretty damn cool car.
Yeah, the rotary.
I saw one of them the other day, and I forgot how much of a hornmobile they were.
Yeah, they look amazing, sound amazing, and they're fast.
Yep.
And because they're rotaries, they sound like a hive of angry bees behind your head.
Wow.
I'm all for that. I'm behind Brett.
Thumbs up to Brett.
Brett from Collingwood.
And
we had another one, E.K. Holden from Colin.
Oh, thank you, Colin.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Thanks for texting in, guys. We do appreciate it here at Joy 94.9.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9.
You are listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. We've got a bit of a small game going on at the moment, which is what car am I? I'm going to give a few more clues on my cars.
Oh, good.
Yeah? My second iteration arrived in 1996 and I looked a lot better. Although not a completely new model, I looked nothing like the previous model. Unfortunately, no one in Australia seemed to care that I was better looking and buyers stayed away. I had a couple of more minor updates before deciding at the end of 2000 that it was time to go. I had no friends in Australia as people were far more interested in other cars like Subaru Liberty, Holden Vectra, Honda Accord. So I took myself off the market. Oh yeah. Do you know what this car is?
I'm still nowhere near.
I know.
Mm.
Jesus. Joseph and Mary. If you know, you will win so much respect from us. It's just outrageous how much we will like
uncouth.
You. Uncouth. A little bit. A little bit. Mm. Now, we've had the lovely Andrew has texted in at the start of the show. If you were listening, we put a call out to see if somebody needed help buying a car, because that's what we love to do, is pretty much telling people what to do.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
It's my calling in life.
Kind of.
It is.
Kind of.
Yeah.
So Andrew's looking for something. He's given us a few tips. Something small, something with an automatic, used for inner city peak hour driving, and not sure about new or used. I think he wants
quite
to spend around 10-ish, 10 to 15-ish.
Quite general.
It is general?
Very, very broad, because that could go the spectrum from a 10 grand Boggo entry car all the way up to $100,000 car.
It could be a Datsun or a Cortina.
See, if I was spending that amount of money, like 10 to 15, I wouldn't even think about it. I would go second hand. So maybe let's go with what we think.
Look, if we're going to work on the proviso that Andrew wants something in that budget, the lower end, any car that's new on the market for 10 grand, well, not there is none for 10 grand, but anything under 15 is ordinary. Holden Barina Spark, Nissan Micra, Suzuki Alto.
Does the Barina come in under 15? The Barina comes...
Barina Spark, the sub Barina.
Little thing.
They're all awful.
Yep.
The Nissan Micra is okay. If you're going to buy a new car for that really entry price, go on Nissan Micra.
Yeah.
But if you can get a 1 or 2 year old used small car like a Toyota Yaris or a Mazda 2 or a Ford Fiesta for that price, you'd be crazy not to do that.
I think
I would say a Mazda. For reliability.
The Mazda 2. Any particular... Cheeky, cool, fun, good car.
Yeah.
I prefer the Ford Fiesta.
Yes.
It drives better.
Same.
But look, there's so many good light cars on the market now. Like I said, there's that whole list of cars. There's others. There's an older VW Polo. There's a higher end Nissan Micra if you want to go that way. But you look at one that's 1 or 2 years old, it's still going to be super reliable. Yeah. It's not going to have many Ks on it. And you're going to be getting around that lower end of the price.
Yeah.
And if you're only going to use it for just jotting around the city, you don't really need much else.
Would you consider anything like a second-hand small European car, like the last shape Polo?
No.
Look, I wouldn't, purely for the reason that European cars are pricey to service, and at the lower end, the benefits aren't there. At the higher end, you're more prestige ones, for sure, but at the bottom end of the scale, that whole Europeanness, I don't think really counts for a whole lot.
Yeah, and service and repairs.
And so what have you got? You've got your Peugeot 207, average car. The old Polo was ordinary. The new one's good, but the old one was pretty bad. The Renault Clio, reliability issues. I wouldn't be going European if I was looking in that price segment.
Actually, in saying that, I just remembered a friend of mine recently bought a secondhand Peugeot 307, and she was very, very keen on it because it's a beautiful-looking car when it came out. It's, you know, fantastic, and it died after 2 weeks, and now she's having legal issues trying to get money back. So
that's buying a second-hand car. You know?
Well, yeah, that's
faults
true.
Faults known and unknown.
Yeah, that's true. But the expense is going to always be greater with a European, I guess.
Definitely.
So we're kind of going to suggest to young Andrew that he looks, secondhand.
A late model, light car like a Ford Fiesta or a Mazda 2 would be my...
Do you know what? Even the last shape of Fiesta, not the current one, one, I think they're fantastic.
Good car.
Yeah.
Plenty out there.
Yeah.
Cheap, reliable.
So you're saying the Mazda 2?
Yeah. Yep.
You're saying the Fiesta. I'm gonna join you on that
again.
One, Mike.
Favoritism.
Oh my god!
Twice in one show.
Aren't they the same car under the skin?
No. Ford and Mazda don't have much to do with each other anymore.
Oh, I thought they were.
They still share some parts for the Ute, but the little cars not so much.
Not so much. I remember back in the day where the Ford later was actually a Mazda 323. Do you remember that?
Yes, Cheryl, I do. Is this your alter ego that you've been telling us so much about? Oh, is that why you're wearing a checkered sundress?
I love her.
It wasn't going to be Cheryl, but now it is. Clearly.
I absolutely love her.
Thank you.
Mm.
Ah, why is it a woman? I'm a man, guys.
Barely.
Wow. A lot of haterade in here. Well, Andrew, we hope that has helped you in some way make a decision. And let us know how you go with it as well.
He's going to go out and buy a Mercedes Gullwing from 1967 now.
Absolutely. As if you wouldn't. So good luck to you. And if anyone needs any help, go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/FenderBenderJoy, and ask us any questions and we might even answer you.
Possibly.
That's what we're there for. Now, we're going to finish up, guys, with the announcement of what the car is. Now, I've got a couple more.
Come
couple
on, it's
more.
Just killing me. I need to know now.
People are dying out there. So, a few more clues. After featuring Bond movie Casino Royale prior to my international release, I decided I was so good-looking with my new style that I had to come back to Australia in 2007. Australia agreed that my kinetic style was super and started buying me. I had a small facelift in 2010, and now my sales are very strong in this country. So much so that some people think I should just take over my dowdy big brother as the main family car in the range.
Come on, you've just given it away.
I am, ladies and gentlemen, I am...
Do you want me to do it?
Yep.
Am I going to be the one to do it?
Do it.
I am the Ford Mondeo.
Oh,
You guessed it.
Correct.
I did.
You guessed it straight away.
I wouldn't have guessed it the whole way.
And, of course, the dowdy big brother is the Falcon, because the Falcon is not selling so well. The Mondeo is selling okay.
Yeah.
And it's a great car.
This is the thing. Mm-hmm. So I've got to say a big congratulations to Darren, who called in.
On your Dazza.
He got that quite early.
Yeah.
So well done, Darren.
Thank you
very, very much. Somebody else texted in a little bit earlier, Bruce from East St Kilda, and suggested a Ford car. You were close, Bruce?
Halfway there, Bruce.
Yes. And you, yes, Ford
close,
car.
Close, but no car.
No.
That was the worst thing you've ever said.
I can't agree, because as much as I hated it, I did laugh at first.
Exactly. What does that say about you?
Many bad things.
Yeah. You know what, guys? We've come to the end of the show.
Really?
Isn't that sad?
What?
I know, right?
Wow. Mm.
Perfect timing, because I need to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, me too. I was getting all that anticipation.
Oh, my God. So exciting, right? Do you know what I mean? Hey, big thanks to you guys for coming in, Mike and Jeremy.
Thank you, Tim, so much.
That's what friends are all about.
And always business doing pleasure.
Yeah, it's true, it's true. And thanks to Rebecca on the phone. Go to Facebook and Twitter and like us. That would be fantastic. We'll see you next week. Safe driving.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.